On the show today, we have National Credit Union Foundation's very own Gigi Hyland talking about financial well-being for all, and she lays out three steps to get credit unions to up their game in this area, so check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Gigi Hyland from the National Credit Union Foundation. Gigi, how are you?
I am great, Sir Mike Lawson. I am fine.
I
am
dub great.
I dub thee, Sir Mike.
Nice to see you. Now you can take a big breath because GAC is kind of in our rearview mirror here. But man, you've had quite a few busy past 3 or 4 days, huh?
Yeah, it's been busy, and I'm just so incredibly impressed by the team at CUNA, my colleagues at CUNA, to pull off a virtual event like that for 3,000 plus people and to have it go so seamlessly. So it feels so good. I mean, I had nothing to do with it. I just had to kind of show up and speak. But I'm so proud that, you just never know with technology, and it's just, they did such a great job. And so it was such a great event. So many great speakers and so many great breakout sessions. So all really good. Yeah.
Yeah. The content was excellent as usual. Yeah. I think they pulled it off with flying colors. I think we're all like, gosh, how are they going to do it on such a grand scale? And they did it. So, and it's fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. So,
good feeling.
But hopefully next year we'll be back in person. So that'll be good to see. So fingers crossed for sure. Mm-hmm. Hey, but today, right now, we're talking about kind of the theme of the show. Actually, the theme of the GAC was kind of a providing financial well-being for all. And I really enjoyed your section of the keynote, of Jim Nussle's keynote, where you came on and talk about, obviously, financial well-being for all, but three ideas to kind of get credit unions kind of up their game in this department. But before we do that, I wanted to just give a quick summary on the session that you had called The Thing You Do. You were on there with Todd Marksberry from Canvas Credit Union, Filene's Taylor Nelms, and then Carolina's Credit Union League, Dan Schlein. So give us a quick summary on that before we dive into some deeper weeds here.
Yeah. So actually the comments were embedded into Jim's speech is really meant to kind of be this forest for the trees, if you will, the forest and the ideas of what can a credit union do. And then that session that I did with the three wonderful gentlemen you just named really was meant to be the deeper dive. So from Taylor's perspective, what is he seeing from a research lens? What is Filene doing in terms of sort of quantifying this? Obviously, Filene has worked with Canvas Credit Union. So Todd was telling Canvas Credit Union's journey and their story and what, how they decided to measure and what that looked like and how they could see that financial being was working. And then from Dan's perspective as an advocate, a longtime advocate, what does this all mean when you advocate on Capitol Hill? And what does this all mean when you talk to elected officials, whether they be local or whether they be federal local officials, about the credit union difference, about how credit unions are really, not only with a story, but also with a little bit of data paired with that, are really making a difference in people's financial lives and therefore continue to not only earn their tax exempt status, but to be a very robust part of the financial services industry. So this is all, you always hear me say this, Mike, it's all connected, and sort of this idea of what credit unions do to improve people's financial lives and to do that for all of their members is deeply connected to the advocacy side of the house, but also to the consumer side of the house and why a consumer would want to do business with a credit union.
Yeah, exactly. And I like how you took all those different angles to look at this one topic and just really got a variety and practical outlook as well from it. So that was super, super important.
The practical part is the biggest part here. But go ahead and we'll probably get into that as you
know. I was going to dive into the three ideas that you talked about during the keynote. So, and I have to have my notes over here. What are my notes doing over there? They should be right here. So I apologize. One of them was like, know your people. And then the other one's doubling down on empathy. And then the third one was take action. So if you want to just kind of quickly go over those three, because I know you took a really, obviously a deep dive in that session, but you actually kind of detailed them as well in the keynote too. So.
Sure. Yeah. I think the starting point for credit unions is to recognize that credit unions do great work every day. I mean, there is proof in terms of what's happened during the pandemic in terms of credit unions, making loan deferrals, helping people with food, collecting food and giving food to the community, helping people defer their mortgage payments, keeping them in housing during this incredible crisis, working with them to make sure that, you know, people can kind of see the other side and see a small light at the end of this tunnel financially, whether they've lost a job or whether they're just struggling and now they're only on one income versus two. Just there's so many different episodes or varieties, not to even mention the healthcare part of this equation. Right. So I think the biggest part here is for to help credit unions recognize you're doing amazing work, but as you think about the impact of that work, how do you start to really tell that story in a way that consumers get it and that elected officials get it, and most importantly, that you and your team understand that quantification of the impact that you're making. So your business decisions are really informed by, are we making a difference in what we're doing? And if we're not, having that mentality of sort of, you know, learn from that and then pivot and then try something else.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part was really know your people, because you can't really respond to a need if you don't know the need. And what I've seen, there are a lot of credit unions that have joined me sort of on this journey that the foundation has been on. And this is one of our major pillars of work. So for the last 7 years, we've really been working on this. And a lot of credit unions have joined the Financial Health Network, and we're a member. And that particular network has a measurement tool of knowing where your people are. So are they coping? Are they vulnerable? Are they healthy? Are they doing things in save, spend, borrow, plan that may be okay or may not be okay? And how do you figure that out for your membership? So this idea of, you know, really measuring first, really seeing where people are in your field of membership, and doing that either by backing into the data with transactional information, by actually going out and doing a survey and measuring. There are a whole host of ways to do that. And on our, we just redid our website on financial well-being, and it really kind of walks through credit unions. Here are the things you could do to measure and to get that baseline of where people are. So that's the first step, Mike. Okay. And that's kind of the practical step. And I say that because, you know, again, you and I have had this conversation. All credit unions do financial education, but financial education is not what we're talking about here. Financial education is awesome. You need people to have the knowledge, but financial being for all is so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And financial education is a piece of it. So it's kind of looking again with a critical eye at what do you do, and ratcheting it up just a little bit. So that's step number one.
Okay.
You mentioned empathy, and actually I'm going to, the actual second category is to build your strategy, and empathy is embedded in there. Not at all. Empathy is embedded in there. And so once you kind of know what the landscape looks like, then how do you build a strategy around that? And the first thing I would recommend to credit unions is really to, you know, open up your bylaws. What do they say? What are the first couple articles of your bylaws say in terms of your mission? What does your strategy say? Does your strategy have any language in it, or does it have a pillar in it around, we exist to improve people's financial lives, and we do that for all of our members? So if you kind of look at those baseline documents and then see, how can you embed financial well-being for all in that? Mm-hmm. How do you incorporate it into the conversations that your team members are having? How do you report to the board of what you're doing to meet your mission, and not just necessarily focus on numbers first, but focus on the mission. How are we actually advancing the why that we're here?
Yeah.
And then the third big part of this build your strategy is the empathy piece, which you mentioned, because I think for employees understanding each other, for employees understanding members, you know, this is a human business that we're in. It's a shared humanity business that we're in, because everybody has financial dreams. Everybody wants a financial life that is ideally stress-free. So how do you leverage empathy training to help employees understand each other and also understand members as they talk to them? You know, sometimes we're very quick to judge, and we're, you know, obviously, frontline staff right now, credit unions, are under so much pressure because everybody's calling them going, I don't know what to do.
Exactly.
And they're so the mental fatigue of that. And how do you incorporate empathy so it doesn't become a transaction and it really becomes a conversation about what's really going on here? What happened in your financial life, Gigi? Well, you know, my gosh, my husband lost his job and now we're on one income and I'm struggling to make ends meet and I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage payment. Can you help me with that? It's digging deep enough to really understand the context of what people are going through to then really be able to help them. So that's where the empathy piece fits into the building of the strategy. Last on that building of the strategy, you know, this is all in, do you have everybody within the organization kind of focused on financial well-being for all? It can't just be, you know, engagement, or it can't just be the HR department. Mm-hmm. It's really got to be the whole organization that understands that what they do in their superpower area eventually affects GG Highland member, and making that human connection is really important.
Now, it's a culture thing, right? So it's got to be embedded into the culture.
Very much so. It's very much a culture thing. And, you know, what's more inspirational for employees than to understand the impact they're making on people's lives? You know, Mike, I'm sure you've had this happen to you. You have somebody who you haven't seen in 10 years and they come up to you and you go, you know, that one conversation we had where you kind of pushed me to do something or you asked me a question and they say, you know, that was the difference. And you're like, what? You know, so it's that ability to really make a difference in people's lives. And I think when you help employees understand that power, even if it's just, it feels like a very rote transaction for that person at that point in time, that is life-changing. And you know, employees need to recognize that, because that's what jazzes people in getting up out of bed and working for credit unions.
No doubt. And I think that kind of goes to what Jim was saying in his keynote, was really telling the credit union story, you know, not only to you and me, where, you know, that's preaching to the choir because we already know, but telling that story to folks outside the industry and getting them to like, oh, really? You guys do that? I had no idea. Or, you know, you guys are way deeper. I would say this goes way deeper than a transaction. That's credit unions for me. It's like they do stuff. Yeah. So I think telling that story that has meaning, that has quantifiable results, that makes an impact, that shows impact on people's lives, that will get people jazzed. Not only people, your members, but I think your staff as well. And that will build that culture. So I think they kind of help each other, right?
Yeah, again, it's all connected. So it's exactly. definitely intertwined. And I think you just touched upon sort of this third piece of either my top three tips or my third piece of advice is to take action, which is where all the fun part comes in, as you just kind of alluded to.
Yeah.
You know, this idea that you really look at everything you do with a little bit of a critical eye. And I tease Jim and I tease my colleagues at CUNA, because I think part of this conversation around financial being for all started with, well, if they're going to open their eyes to a credit union, what are they going to see? And that was sort of my, you know, for consumers, we want them to open their eyes to a credit union, but what are they going to see? Are they going to stay? Are they going to say, this is the place where I want, this is my trusted financial partner. This is the place I want to do my banking for my life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want them to do. So this idea of taking action on the strategy and on the measurement is really all about looking critically at your products and services. Which are the ones that without a doubt improve people's financial well-being for all? Which ones may not? Are there some that you have that are kind of, does that really help people advance their financial well-being or does it not? Mm-hmm. And if you need to keep it, you know, why do you have to keep it and what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the member journey is really important. You know, what does it actually take to do business with it? Where are the pain points? You know, does it really take 24 emails to send a wire request, or does it feel like torture? Sorry, my thing
That's
is
okay. buzzing.
Does it feel like torture when I'm going through a mortgage loan? You know, does it just, it's just so hard to do. So finding those pain points and smoothing them out as frictionlessly and as cheaply as you possibly can. And maybe there's some really good ideas. And then to your point, Mike, I can't emphasize this enough. Credit unions have got to look at their websites and really make sure that their websites say and reflect who they are.
Yep.
You heard me say this during the presentation, but I've had so many credit unions, you know, just brag on all the amazing things they're doing, and they are doing amazing things. But then being my attorney self and going back to verify, I look at their website and there's nothing on there. It looks like a bank website. You know, it's got a lot of information about rates and, you know, all the loans I can get, which is really important. But that lens of, we're here because we want to be your trusted financial partner and we want to improve your financial well-being or help you along your path. And here's how we do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just even those simple words, even the simple words of treating every single member transaction as an opportunity to do something with that member's financial being, you know, that's the culture. That's the mindset.
Yeah.
And there are just so many, the world is ripe with opportunities to be able to do this with members, both digitally in your e-banking. You know, there are lots of different resources and tools that credit unions are using and can use to be able to do this, to really make it member focused and to make that experience a delightful experience to do banking.
Yeah, that message needs to be loud and clear in every channel that you are on, for sure. Not only for, you know, obviously for the staff to see it, the members, the representatives to see it as well. So there's so many people that would see that. So yeah, that message needs to be loud and clear.
Right. Right. So, and Koreans are so humble and we tend not to do that. So, but now is the time. It's time. There's a pivot in competition. There's a whole new expectation now that we've gone through this pandemic where we want everything as fast as possible, as seamless as possible on our phone. So we don't have to touch anything. We don't have to pick up a pen and write with anything. How can credit unions sort of get to that place cooperatively? I know, you know, credit unions don't, we're not made of, ironically, we're not made of money. You know, we don't have the same assets as a very large national bank, but my gosh, through cooperation, look what we can do. Look what we have done with shared branching and the payment system and so many things that we've shared resources and strengths with to build QSOs that make a difference. You know, so just so many things that credit unions can do together. I think that's also the opportunity here.
Yeah, you're in my head, Gigi, because my next question for you was like, tell me about the significance of the timing of this. Is this born out of the last 12 months, or is this been, obviously this has been in our DNA for a long time, for forever, actually, well, since the inception of credit unions, but it seems like it's now it's more overt ever since what we've been through in the last 12 months. So is that kind of the timing here, or I want to get your take on that, because
I think it's a confluence of different things. So I'll tell you my own story, my own passion for this, about having credit unions tell their stories and have it paired with data that is quantifiable. It goes all the way back, Mike, to when I was sworn in to be an NCUA board member. So in 2005, you know, hearing on Capitol Hill, House Ways and Means Committee, challenging the tax-exempt status of nonprofit hospitals and not-for-profit hospitals. Credit unions got swept into that undertow and had to testify at the hearing, including NCUA. And at the time, in direct, you know, response to the question of essentially what's your proof that you should continue to be tax exempt organizations, really at that point, NCUA really had no quantifiable data, had lots of great anecdotal stories,
but
no quantifiable data. And I would say we've made very minimal progress on that. And I think it's just time for credit unions to think about, you know, what gets measured gets done, and how do you quantify it and really be able to play offense and defense, and also attract members to show them that you're all about really improving Gigi Hyland's financial well-being. And that's why you want to do business with my particular credit union. And be able to demonstrate that, because I think you also, so this confluence is, that's my own personal sort of quixotic journey over the last 15 years, is try to urge credit unions to quantify. But I think now we have a couple of things. We have the pandemic, where people's usage of banking services is shifting to a much more digital, mobile space, and wanting all of those experiences, you know, in the palm of their hand, literally. And then obviously you have a brand new Congress and you have a brand new administration that is Democratic and is going to be looking at things differently and is going to be looking at consumer protections and looking at how are financial institutions really meeting the expectations of their congressional charter in a way that allows Congress to preserve, potentially to give more powers or to require them to do more. So, you know, again, I think credit unions just need to be ready for this in the long run, because I think this is credit unions' future. This is what we've always done. We really have been all about improving people's financial well-being all the way back from 1908 and St. Mary's Bank to, you know, today with all of the technology we have. But credit unions have got to pay attention to this. This is their future. And if we cannot quantify, paired with the amazing human stories, my little chicken worries a little bit in terms of what might happen on Capitol Hill.
You're right.
But it's also important for consumers. You know, I also worry about, are you going to keep and attract consumers, particularly ones younger than me, to stay and to make the credit union system continue to be robust long after I'm gone. So,
Well, and I keep thinking about the big data analytics movement that we've been through the last half a decade. Well, if you talk to a tech person, it's always been there, but overtly, it's been, you know, it's really been pushed, you know, the last 5, 6, 7 years. Okay, data. This is how you better serve your members. This is how you individualize it. So why can't we use that same data to quantify the impact that credit unions have on their communities? So, and that's where you get the proof in the pudding, so to speak. So that's, so there's another use for that. And that's
exactly right. And I think there's kind of a little bit of an irony here. You know me, I always have a sort of a twisted sense of humor, but credit unions are, you know, are data driven people. They are numbers people. But right now we don't have the numbers to show how credit unions really are doing the amazing work that they're doing. And that's what we have to work on. And that could be different from every credit union, because every credit union is slightly unique. Their community is different, but attention has to be paid on what those numbers could be for that particular credit union. And the credit union's got to work to be able to start gathering that and be ready for that. Yeah.
All righty. There's your call to action, credit unions.
There it is. There it is. It's a big one. It's a big one.
But it's so true. Well, all right. Well, all right. We're going to keep an eye out for this this call to action for the rest of the year and years on and on. Because I totally agree with you. We need to have this hard evidence to supply, to provide to folks, the decision makers out there, that hey, you know what? This is a viable. It is a viable industry, and here's proof. And we're going to continue to grow. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, if credit unions are interested in this and they want to learn more, you know, we have a collaboration with the Cornerstone Credit Union Foundation the California Nevada Credit Union League. Yeah. So we have Youth and Health coming up,
okay.
And it'll be virtual. It's towards the end of April. There's plenty of information on our website to register for that. But just another sort of opportunity to really hear about what other credit unions are doing, how all these issues are connected, and just inspire credit unions to really kind of take this and catalyze them to run with it and to go back to the credit union and start to work on this.
Very important for sure. And I'll put that stuff in the show notes too, so people can get right to it and participate. So more the merrier. All right, Gigi. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always. Well done at the GAC as always. And always look forward to the next visit.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Always great to talk to you, Mike. So thanks again and hope you have a great rest of your week.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.